Well, good morning to each one. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. I value the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord again. And it's my testimony this morning that I found it. And I don't have any desire to go look for anything else. I've been encouraged before and challenged with that, the story of the woman at the well. You know, when she came to that well, she brought her water pots expecting to dip once again on that dusty, hot day into the well that she had dipped so many times before and had to keep coming back to try to be satisfied. But there was a day when she met the Master, and on that day she forgot all about her water pots. She left that water pot there and ran to go tell who she had met. And I'm thankful this morning that I too have met the Master. And He has everything we need today. And if you're thirsty this morning, and if you have been looking for something in life that you have not been able to find, the Lord has the answer. He's the one. And I'm thankful for that today. Throughout the course of this meeting, our focus has been, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Because that's what's going to mean everything in the end. That's why we're here today. We want to be saved. We want to make it to heaven successfully. And this morning, I'd like to close out the meeting with a message that I trust will be an encouragement to you to steadfastly press on. Steadfastly press on. I'd like to start this morning in the 9th chapter of Matthew. Read a verse here, and then I'd like to move to Luke 14, so bear with me for a couple of moments. It said, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose, and he followed him." And there's other verses that you recall where the Lord passed by James and John and Peter and Andrew. And He went by them and He extended the similar invitation to them. He said, come, follow me. And the Scripture says that straightway they left their nets and they went and they followed Jesus. Now I'd like to read out of the 14th chapter of Luke. And the sixth, we'll start at the 16th verse, Luke 14 and 16. It says, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Well, I've been challenged by these accounts. Really, this invitation that the Lord gave to these people is an invitation that He's giving to all of us. The Lord passes by each one of our stations in life. We all kind of have our own receipt of custom seat, if you will. I can see Matthew. He's sitting in his place. This is where he hangs out. This is what identifies Matthew. And we all have those places in life. Here's where I am, and here's where you are, and somebody else may be over here, but the Lord passes by each one of your ways, and He doesn't have a lot of words that he offers on the front, and He just says, come. Come follow me. And I don't find anywhere where the Lord recommends delaying or deferring action. I don't see that anywhere. The supper, it's now ready. It's ready to come eat now. It's hot. It's ready. It's been prepared. The time is now for you to come. When the Lord went by Matthew and James and John and Peter and Andrew, and when He bid these folks to supper, He didn't say, come follow me, and then walk on with the expectation that, well, maybe sometime down the road, if it's convenient, they'll come. The invitation was, come now. It's time. It's ready. The Lord's coming by our way. And His invitation is, come now. He doesn't recommend delaying or deferring action. He wants us to come sit at His table. He wants us to open the door that He knocks on. I want to open the door while He's knocking. I don't want to wait until I'm done vacuuming or cleaning my car or whatever, so I'll get to it, and then go open the door and have Him not be there. I'm not interested in that. When He knocks, I want to open it. The Lord doesn't recommend delaying that. The Lord doesn't ever recommend turning around and going the other way once you've started. I don't find anywhere where the Lord says, you know, disciples, if you start following after Me and you find that it gets a little bit rough and uncomfortable, you can always go back. And it's fine to do that. The Lord doesn't recommend us to do that. The Lord doesn't recommend that we get to a place in our life where we feel like we've spiritually arrived and we can just kind of coast now. I don't find anywhere where the Lord recommends that. But all through the Scriptures, we have accounts for our a warning, a caution to us to consider, for our consideration, where people did those things. Well, the end never turned out well for any of them. You remember when Paul came and preached the gospel message to Felix? You remember what Felix said? When I have a more convenient season, then I'll call for you. I hear what you're saying and it registers with my heart and I believe what you're saying is right, but it's not real convenient for me right now because of these other things that are going on in my life. So when it's more convenient, I'll call for you. A sad story. Don't ever remember Him coming back. I hope He did. Don't have record of it. King Agrippa said, almost, Paul, you persuaded me. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. This is me. I think that he did persuade King Agrippa that he should be a Christian. I think King Agrippa's problem was, you didn't quite persuade me to be willing. I'm not willing to leave what I would have to leave to go be a Christian. Almost persuaded me. Almost doesn't get us in. We've read about the young rich ruler who went away sorrowful. You know, for a long time, the man was coming. He was coming. He was doing what he knew to do to follow the Lord. But then there came a point in his life where he ran into something that was interfering with him continuing to follow hard after Jesus. He went for a ways, but then something happened and he went away sorrowful. And we read about many disciples that followed after the Lord, don't we? And they came to a place in their life. And when they realized what all it was going to require to follow Jesus, that they were going to have to become like Jesus, partake of who He was, I believe they went away sorrowful too. And they said, it's a hard saying. The Lord didn't recommend that. I don't ever want to find myself where that's where I am. But you know, there's the five foolish virgins too, where I don't read where they necessarily ever turned around and walked away from Jesus. But when they got to the end, the Lord said, I don't know who you are. I mean, they were on the wrong side of the door. They had run out of oil. Somewhere along in life, they had failed to continue to urgently pursue following hard after the Lord. And we read about the seven churches. Remember, the angel went to the seven churches, and one of the churches, it said, they were doing, they were abiding by and being careful to do those things that were right. But somewhere along the line, they lost their first love. They were still doing time, still coming to church, and they were still standing up when people were doing wrong things and saying, "That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. We're gonna have to fix this because it's not right. It's not according to truth, and we're not willing to sell that. We want to maintain that." But somewhere along the line, they lost their vision of following hard after the Lord. Maybe, perhaps they began to worship the religion more than they were worshiping the Lord. And they began to back off and not pursue the Lord. And we all know about the church at Laodicea where the Lord said, you're lukewarm. You haven't paid enough attention to make sure that you have an influx of energy to keep you with something on hand that's alive and invigorating and can do something for yourself and for others. And they said, we're okay. We're rich and we're increased with goods. And yet the Lord came and He said, but you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked, and I counsel of you, you need to buy some gold that's tried in the fire that you might be rich, and you need some white raiment that your nakedness can be clothed, and you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. Somewhere along the line, they failed to steadfastly press on. The Lord is calling us to press, to keep pressing on. He's not trying to tire us out. He's not trying to put more on us than what we're able. He knows that if we let up, something else is going to take its place, and then we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And the Lord doesn't want us in trouble. And He wants us to be encouraged that when we face those hard times in life, that we're not going to be willing to back off. Many professed Christians, I fear, are asleep in Zion and content with where they are. They're going to run into trouble when that happens. And the Lord's exhortation to us is, you need to press on. The supper, it's ready now. Come and follow me now. Don't delay and defer action. Don't ever be willing to turn around and go back. If you fail, get up and move ahead. And my message this morning is, be encouraged to steadfastly press on. And when you find yourself in a place, and I want to say this, you will all find yourself in this place at different times. When you begin to recognize that there is a potential for some distance to start to happen between you and the Lord, because the Lord's, He helps you start to feel something's wrong. There's getting ready, something getting ready to happen that's going to create more distance, not less distance. Be willing to constrain the Lord. Lord, I want to hold on to You. Lord, I don't want You to get away from me. Lord, please stick by my side. You remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus? And they didn't know it was the Lord, but the Lord was speaking to their hearts, and their hearts, we found, was burning within them. And they were walking along with the Lord, and they got to the end of the way, and they were getting ready to head off to their home, and the Lord acted like He was going to keep going. And they didn't want to depart from that influence that was causing this burn in their hearts, that spoke to their souls. They didn't want there to be a separation between that. And they recognized, hey, if He goes on and we go over here, that might go away. We like this. We don't want it to go away. And so it said they constrained the Lord. Lord, no, please, come with us. We want You to go with us wherever we are, really. And it was only then that the Lord opened their eyes to understand who He was. He didn't open their eyes on the road. Their hearts burned within them. But it was only after they recognized there might be a separation between them and the Lord, and that influence and that spirit, that they constrained him and went a little bit farther. They could have just said, well, I mean, he's going that way and I live here and that's just how it is and that's life. You know, have you ever heard that? Well, it's life. Well, that's just who I am. It's just, I mean, I constrain the Lord. Be willing to constrain the Lord. Press, lean forward in those instances. I think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. And he got to the place where he recognized the only way he was going to see Jesus was if he left his pride on the ground and rose above it and climbed a tree. And he did. That's what he was willing. He got to the place where he was willing to leave his pride on the ground and rise above it and climb a tree so he could see Jesus. But you know, the story didn't end there with Zacchaeus. Because he came, the Lord came by and said, Zacchaeus, come down, come follow me. In fact, I'm going to go to your house. But the story didn't end there. You see, Zacchaeus eventually came to a place that day, and sometimes we come to these places at different times in our lives, where he came face to face with the fact, if I'm going to continue following the Lord, it's going to take more than climbing a tree and coming down and serving the Lord dinner. I'm gonna have to do something more than that. And it's gonna be a life-changing event. There was a life-changing event for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, I'm willing. If I've taken anything from anyone unjustly, I'll restore him fourfold and I'll give half of my goods to the poor. He came to the place in his life where he wasn't just willing to go a little ways, but when he came to the place in his life where now it's tough. Am I really willing to do this? He took a different route than the young ruler did who went away sorrowful. The young ruler went away sorrowful. Zacchaeus went away happy. Happy. Because he found true riches. That's really what he wanted. He thought earthly riches was going to satisfy him. But what he really wanted and needed was spiritual riches. And he was willing to do that. I think about the priests when they came to the River Jordan. The Lord had a place for them to go, gave them a vision of the land of Canaan, and they were headed to Canaan. Granted, they took a long time to get there. They could have got there a little quicker had they maybe followed some of these things a little bit closer. But they finally made it to the river. The only problem was there was water flowing through the river. That's what a river is. And it was a separation, it was an obstacle between them and the Canaan land. And the priests are bearing something very precious. You have to take care of the ark. But you know what they did? They stepped into the water anyway. Because the word of the Lord was, when you get to the river, you go ahead and step into it. And leave the rest to me. Steadfastly press on. Instead of saying, well, there's a river, I don't know how to cross, I wish I could, but I can't, I'm stuck. The enemy is always right there to come along and say, well, you've done everything you can, but it looks like you're going to have to hang out here for a while. And the Lord wants us to be encouraged to put your feet in the water and press on. Be encouraged to do that. The disciples, they left their comfort zone. Fishing was their comfort zone. I have my comfort zone. I could tell you what it was. But you have yours. You have places in life that you're comfortable with. Who you're with, what you do in the evenings, how you live your life, you know, what your lifestyle looks like, the things you think about. Everybody has their comfort zone. But there are times when the Lord comes along and He says, come follow me. And it's in the midst of where you're in your comfort zone and the Lord's saying, come this way. Be encouraged to, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'm going to press on. The disciples were willing to get outside of their comfort zone. They left their nets. That's what they were comfortable with. Matthew left where he was. Zacchaeus gave up some of his position with the people. The Lord wants us to be willing to do the same thing. Did the disciples face some adversity? Oh, yes. They faced some adversity. But they pushed on all the way to the end. The three Hebrew children were willing to stand up and say, nevertheless, we're not careful to answer you in this question. The king erected a devotion that he wanted them to bow down to. And everybody was bowing down to it, right? Sort of. You ever heard that? Kids come home and say, Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Not everybody did. There were three people that weren't. And there were only three people that the Lord came and visited that day. Those three turned into four. They could have said, well, the Lord knows our heart. If we don't bow down and we get thrown in the fire, we won't be able to continue to have a positive influence on all these people and teach them about the Lord. So we're going to bow down, but the Lord knows our hearts and we'll be able to continue His work. See, those are all of the good reasons for doing the wrong thing. The Lord doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to do the wrong thing so that we can serve Him better. The Lord wants us to be steadfast. And when it feels like everybody's doing it, you be the one that stands up and says, I'm not careful to answer you in this. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And here's who my God is. And you know what? Even if things don't go well with me in this life, nevertheless, I want you to know today, we're not going to bow down to this. And we have all the stories of the heroes of faith that did the same thing. They came to places in their life where it probably would have been tempting to throw up their hands and say, Lord, I was following you. I thought your promises were here. Abraham was called to go into a land and he went down there and ended up in this land and there was a famine there. He could have said, Lord, what's this all about? But Abraham had faith and he was willing to steadfastly press on. Stephen, in his darkest hour, didn't retract his testimony. When he was being stoned, it said that he steadfastly looked to heaven. He kept going, Lord, I'm not going to give up on this. I'm not going to start trying to sell out truth and back up and get them to stop persecuting me. In his darkest hour, he steadfastly looked up to heaven. And he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne. Standing! Live your life and give Jesus reason to stand on your behalf. Do things for the Lord so that when the Lord looks down, oh, that's my child right there. He's going through a hard time and he's not backing up. Look at him, Lord. God, Father, that's my child right there. And we're down there. The stones are coming. The trouble's coming. We can't see the way ahead. It looks like God's not there. And yet Jesus is up there going, He's still standing. He's still holding the truth. When everybody else is going away, there's still my child down there. What's your story? What will your story be? You know, we all are going to take a story with us. We're going to leave a story behind, and we're going to take a story with us to the judgment. Well, what's your story? I want to live my life so that when I'm gone, my children, my grandchildren, those that I've been associated with can point back, oh yeah, they'll find some places where I failed, too many. But I want to leave a story where they say, yeah, but he always kept going forward. He never gave up. He kept pushing. And in the face of conflict, in the face of the stones, the onslaught coming his way, when it seemed like everybody else was scattering and going somewhere else, he stood. for the truth. When I get to the end of the way, I want to be able to stand before the Lord. Probably going to have some scratches. Probably going to have some blood coming down in some areas where I fell. Might have some scars. Oh, but I want to have a story that when I get to the end of the way, Lord, I did everything I could by Your grace to steadfastly press on regardless of what has happened. We heard the scripture in Sunday school that said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Lord is looking for a people He can count on. Us in this congregation this morning, the Lord wants, He wants to have a list of names that has every single one of your names on it. Disciples I can count on. I can count on them, regardless of what it looks like to them. I can count on them. The Lord's looking for us to come and be faithful, just like all of these others were faithful. And when we fall, be encouraged to get back up and continue to go forward. There's a scripture in the 24th chapter of Proverbs in the 16th verse. It says, though a righteous man fall 7 times, he shall rise again. What does 7 signify? Complete. I don't know how you think about it, but I've been encouraged this way with that before. If a righteous man utterly falls, completely falls, 7 times, or maybe it's a repeated failure. Has anybody here done the same thing wrong twice? Was that just me? Is there anyone here that's actually done the same thing wrong more than once? You have? So we've got 2. No one here's failed 3 times, have you? I'm talking about the same thing. 3 times? We got 1. Well, I beat you. I've done more than that. But this verse encourages us. A righteous man, though he falls 7 times, he'll rise again. I want to rise again. What are your options? God doesn't want us to have an up and down experience. That's not the point. It's not that the Lord says, oh, don't worry about it. If you fall, just get up, keep going, no big deal. It is a big deal. He has grace. He has victory. But the thing is, if you fall down, what are your options now when you're on the ground? You want to just make real good friends with the dirt? And just say, well, this is where I'm at. I've been here before. Might as well just stay here and just make friends. What are your options? It's like the disciples when the Lord turned back around to them and the others had left, and He said, are you going to leave too? Are you going to lay down too? And they said, well, where are we going to go? What are our other options? You have the words of eternal life. If you fail, get back up and keep and ask the Lord for more help. Make some adjustments and keep going. Steadfastly, press on. I don't want to be numbered with the 5 foolish virgins. I don't want to be numbered with those that turned around and went the other way. I don't want to be numbered with the man that lived for the Lord, the young ruler who went a ways with the Lord, but then came to a place in his life where he went away sorrowful. I want to be of the number that the Lord can count on. And He said there's just going to be a few that make it. I can be part of the few. And so can you. We can all be part of the few. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord wants you to be part of the few. You can make it. It's not like He's grading on a curve where He says, I'm only going to give this many people entrance into the kingdom of heaven. He'll give as many people as who are willing to steadfastly press on. This morning, I want to encourage us all. Buy the truth and don't sell it. The truth that the Lord has given you light and understanding on, hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Don't partition it. Don't piece it out. Don't let the enemy come in and hollow the experience you have out by the time so that by the time you get done, all you have is a form and no substance. Buy the truth. Write it on the tables of your heart. Bind it about your neck. Take it to your grave. And invest in it until you're fully persuaded in it. If you're living your life and there's things in your life and you're really not sure about and maybe you're not real comfortable with it, but you're kind of leaving it there, invest in that thing until you're persuaded that how you're living, God's pleased with it. Press forward in that thing. Don't just put it off to the side and say, well, I don't really understand that, and continue going down a road that you don't feel comfortable with. Invest until you're persuaded. Be willing to follow hard after Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in focusing all your time on qualifying for heaven. You'll never come on top, out on top doing that. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. Yes, there are things that the Lord says you're going to have to do. But what He wants us to do is follow Him. That's what the Lord wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to say, Lord, here I am. I'm in. I'm all in. Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'll go where You go. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. And I'm going to follow in that manner. Give the Lord undivided devotion. Examine your life. Lord, do I have things that are getting in the way of what You want to do in my life? And if He reveals it to you, it's not something to be discouraged about. Be encouraged that Jesus was merciful to show you something that was wrong in your life. If you're never finding things that are wrong in your life, I'd be concerned. I mean, if you get so comfortable in your Christian experience where nothing's wrong with me, I've arrived. I mean, thank the Lord, I've got victory, and I'm good. Thou sayest, they're rich and increased with goods, and yet you don't know, because what happens is you got lukewarm. You fail to steadfastly press on. Lord, help me to look at all of the devotions I have in my life, and if You show me something in my life that isn't what You want, or that's getting in the way, I want to be willing to lay it down. And when the sun sets, and the day's over, and all is said and done, I want to have a testimony where I have steadfastly pressed on. Regardless of what comes my way, what troubles, what things I don't understand, the things that really, we can run into some things that really rock our boat. And we may not always understand all of it. But Lord, I'm going to follow You all the way through. I know this morning, it's Sunday morning, and I'm preaching to many, many of you that have indeed, you have come and you're following. But I also know that we live in a world with many distractions. We live in a world with much trouble, where much trouble abounds. We live in a world where there is a lot of uncertainty. We live in the midst of what I'll say is a church world that can cause a lot of confusion. And I just want to encourage you this morning, we're on the right road. This is right. No matter how sometimes you may feel or how other people may break off and go different directions, we have this right. The truth, it's right to live by. The word of the Lord, it's right. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I want to be part of that number. Be willing to unstraddle yourself from any fences you may be on. Be willing to let go of any weights that may be in your life that's hindering you. Make it a purpose in your heart, as Daniel did. He purposed within himself. He would not defile himself with the king's meat. Steadfastly press on. The scripture tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the God of peace be with you each one. Amen.